top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That we will do.
Number five.
18 hours after the loss of a Chicago police officer, Mercy Hospital yesterday, another Chicago police officer was shot in the line of duty. Luckily, this time being shot in the vest, in his bulletproof vest, through the E of the word police.
Yeah, right on his back.
Is where he was struck. And this happened this morning at 87th and Ashland. It was a traffic stop. Offender got out of the car, started running away. There was an exchange of gunfire. The offender was hit. The police officer was hit in his vest. The offender has been stabilized, and he is recovering at little company. As the police officer was also taken there to be evaluated, and he is going to be if he
he's
going to
be okay. Superintendent Eddie Johnson just a little bit bruised up, but expected to make a full recovery.
Yeah, because even though the vest is taking that impact, you're still getting hit by a bullet.
Sure.
And even though it's not penetrating you, it's knocking you down. It's creating that compression in the chest and all those kinds of other things. So obviously you have to. You have to be very, very careful in a situation like that. And thank God he was wearing his vest, as all Chicago police men and women do now.
But another reason why the work you've done with Get Behind the Vest campaign for the CP Memorial Foundation, the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, is important to keep those.
Now, those vests, they deteriorate over time, and every 7 years you got to change them out. And then police officers are responsible for paying for them themselves.
Or like this officer who's been shot can no longer use that vest. He'll need another one.
Right. And the police do not pay for that vest.
No.
It's one of the crazy things.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So Police Memorial Foundation pays for those for officers because they didn't want to add another name to the wall, as we're going to have to do anyway this week. And here is Eddie Johnson talking about this morning.
The events of last night were tragic, horrific. But you see these officers come out here today, put on that vest, put on that star, and put on that gun, and go out and do what we do every day. And that's to serve and protect the citizens of this city, despite what happened. You know, you ask yourself, who goes to protect a complete stranger? Never knew the person, but they go to do that. The CPD, that's who does it. We don't question it because that's what we do.
It's very powerful speech he gave. He just talked to what person runs into a man firing shots in a lobby with the sole intention. Go ahead. Did we have some more?
These officers could have pulled back. You know, that nonsense about officers are on their heels and not interacting. There's a gang conflict going on in the 6th District. This guy was acting suspiciously. Based on their training and their instincts, they put a stop on him, and their instincts turned out to be correct. You don't learn that in a textbook. You don't learn that in a classroom. You learn that on the street. That's where your police acumen develops.
Yeah. He was talking. He also addressed the events yesterday with the officer who was killed, Jimenez, talking about what kind of person runs into a man firing shots in a lobby with the sole intention of protecting people they do not know, and that's a member of the Chicago police force, and talked about how they take heat when there are problems, and that's not to say that we shouldn't be we shouldn't scrutinize some of their actions, but that this is representative of what the men and women of the police department do every day.
And most police officers around the country, in all
across the country,
big cities, small towns, sheriff's offices, wherever they are, they run toward the gunfire. So we have to give credit to all of those men and women who do that job and do it well.
Absolutely.
But the Chicago Police Department enjoys probably not the right word, but it has a reputation, as a lot of big city police departments do, for some of the things that bad actors have done throughout the years. And to me it's one of the great tragedies. And I know that sometimes we relish in our bad reputation here, and we kind of wear it as a badge of honor in Chicago, a little bit about political corruption and things like that. And we try to make it funny, because if we don't make it funny, then it'll stick, is I think the way we look at it. But the vast majority and the work that the Chicago Police Department does day in and day out. And if you have interaction with the Chicago Police Department, And you know, you're a solid citizen. You're not you're not running away from them and firing back at them. That's if you are a citizen and you're having an interaction, you need help, or you find yourself in a confrontation and you're trying to get help from them.
Yeah.
That's who you want. You want those people, and they've seen a lot. I mean, these guys, these men and women, the stuff they see on the streets of Chicago, they can be soul sapping. There's no question about it. But they are amazing, amazing, amazing to work with, and that has been my lifelong experience with them. As a kid growing up in the city of Chicago, as a who got pulled over more than once. As a reporter, as a person who does this, as a person who's on the board of the police memorial, I deal with them a lot, and
yeah, I have too.
They're amazing.
Yeah,
and they do need to have people. It's the one thing that is very true. They do need to be recognized for what it is that they do, because I think one of the issues that they confront, and there's a very high suicide rate this year, a jump from this year over last.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because of the trauma of what goes on with a lot of them young men and women who are out working in the most dangerous places. Some of them have come back from war-torn places, and they're on the streets here, and they're like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Right? So thank them when you see them. Checking in at
number four.
President Trump issued what can only be described as a bizarre statement, announcing that the U.S. is going to stand by Saudi Arabia regardless of whether the Crown Prince ordered the murder of Washington Post writer in Turkey, Khashoggi, as the CIA has reportedly concluded.
We put out a statement on Saudi Arabia, which I guess most of you have seen, and we'll see how that all works out. It's a very complex situation. It's a shame, but it is what it is. Because it's America first to me. It's all about America first. We're not going to give up hundreds of billions of dollars in orders and let Russia, China, and everybody else have them. It's all about, for me, very simple. It's America first.
It's about talking about military orders. So even if the Saudis were behind this brutal murder, dismemberment, and dissolving of his body, which is what the CIA believes happened, that as long as it's good for American businesses, then the values of the United States, especially, and killing a journalist, obviously, is to try to, you know, silence a critic. It's not just killing somebody because you don't like him. It's because you don't like him because he's saying something about you that might be true.
Yeah.
And so then our values take a back seat to that military arms contract, which, by the way, the Saudis are not going to give up on, as long as we're willing to sell it to them. The issue really should be, would we still be willing to sell it to a government that we can't trust like that? Because they still need it. They're not going to go to Russia. They're not going to go to China. They can't get the same material, and it would not coordinate with the stuff they have already purchased. They already have, and we, you know, it's a single line system. It would be like all of a sudden, you're not going to buy Apple anymore. You're going to go right to PCs, and nothing will talk to it. You know, the two things won't talk to each other, and they're not going to do that. So that's a false argument that the president is waging there. He doesn't want, the real thing is, he doesn't want oil prices to go up and slow up the economy. And I understand that. But is the idea of America more important than this temporary moment in operations in America? That is a question that we have to answer. And obviously the president's already answered him for himself. Top 5 of 5 continues.
Number 3.
Snoop. Snoop Dogg.
This was great.
Now be referred to as the 2,651st recipient of the Star of Hollywood Walk of Fame. Ceremony took place today in the Gin and Juice rapper's home state of California. He gave special thanks to Quincy Jones.
He's just always been like a mentor to us, been like a big brother to us, trying to help us understand that we need to be more positive and more instrumental with our voices. And now that I'm looking back at it, and now we're at this date, I can say that I'm thankful for Quincy for being who he was, for trying to tell us to get our lives right and to be more positive and more productive. Because now that I'm a positive, productive man, I can walk around more peaceful and more happy. And I want to thank you, Quincy, for instilling that in me, and hopefully I'll instill that into the young generation of rappers so they won't have to go through the mess that we went through and cut the mess early and just get straight to the business.
My favorite part of that speech is where he after he thanked the other people, he thanked himself and went on. I want to thank me for being me at all times and just how great I am. And he was very much about himself, too.
I got to meet him a couple of weeks ago, and he is... he is one of the most approachable celebrities I have ever encountered.
I could see that.
Nice, took pictures with everybody, was, you know, very playful on the air. And he's got a charisma. He's got this really...
No question.
I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out why, because, you know, he's very... He works a lot, right? I mean, he's like on every television show. Mm-hmm. He's best friends with Martha Stewart. I can't figure out any of that.
Can't figure that out either.
And I was like, now what is this guy? He does, he's got that intangible. He's got that magic thing about him.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
He's a D-O-double-G.
Yes, I know. I know.
Do you?
Yes. And the people, they wanted to go out and smoke dope with him after the show.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't think I should do that. It's a little scary.
Number two.
The world of darts is not free of controversy. But something doesn't smell right about this latest claim of impropriety. A Grand Slam of Darts match between Scotland's Gary Anderson and Denmark's Wesley Harms stunk up the stage, literally. Both players claiming the other one kept passing gas during the match to throw off their opponent. Anderson was asked about who was the culprit.
He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Did he?
No. I think he thinks you did it.
I thought he had and I went, that's dirty. It was bad.
It was bad?
It was bad.
And he thought it was you?
Oh, no. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
But it was smelly anyway?
It was smelly. Usually if I fart on stage, I myself. And you know that, because I've told you in a documentary. Not definitely came it was table side.
What is happening?
And it was eggs. Rotten eggs.
Oh, jeez. I'm not sure I understood any of that, but it's really funny.
I'm not sure. I mean, who knew that the world of darts was this competitive? This
darts and farts go together, hand in hand. That's part of the strategy of darts that I didn't know about until
this
moment.
I'm doing nothing but eating eggs and broccoli before I go out onto the stage. Eggs and broccoli.
Drinking I heard asparagus.
Milk, eggs, broccoli, asparagus. That makes me pee stink, too.
Oh, okay, right. That's different.
Then I have a lot of beer. And then I go and I play the darts. And I fart up at the darts. Oh. There's tears in their eyes and they can't see the trip 20.
It'll take me two nights to lose the smell from my nose.
Oh, God.
It was
God.
The best quote from all of that.
Oh, God. Really? Aren't they worried about Brexit?
I couldn't understand the others.
Don't they have more important things to worry about?
Number one.
Okay. So this happened. It's, you know, Thanksgiving week, so they're pardoning the turkeys,
mm-hmm.
right, at the White House. So the president and Melania got out there to pardon them. And, the president could not help himself.
Even though peas and carrots have received a presidential pardon, I have warned them that House Democrats are likely to issue them both subpoenas. Nonetheless, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I will be issuing both peas and carrots a presidential pardon. Unfortunately, I can't guarantee that your pardons won't be enjoined by the Ninth Circuit. Always happens.
It's always a pun filled event.
He'll be here all week.
He'll be in Florida.
Yes, actually, he will be in Florida.
He won't be there.
Yeah, thank God. Mm-hmm.
The top five at five.